This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, if you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/playbook. Good morning. Welcome to Friday Training. I'm live here in Manhattan. If you didn't notice behind me, that's pretty cool. We are in Manhattan at the Black Diamond Club Mastermind, and we are going to be doing Q&A, ask me anything. You bring the questions, I'll bring the answers. We appreciate you. We will be doing another mastermind at our new Napoleon Hill Institute offices and studios in Irvine. So come and join us next week on Wednesday. And then I'll be in Turkey Monday to Wednesday the next week, Thanksgiving. If you can't keep up with me, I can't either. I have an alerting system. Just text me 949-298-2905 or email me david@dmelcher.com to get the exercises and guides from today or the replay of the day. We appreciate you. We are here in New York with some fabulous friends that are going to ask us questions. Nick of Guam, do we have our first question? All right, Scotty Cohn, what's your question?
Mr. David, what is your advice for people to get unstuck in life?
Yeah, first of all, I don't like the word unstuck because if you're unstuck, you're in a comfort zone. Comfort zones constrict. I always use, let's say we're in a huge conference room here in Manhattan. They locked us into the room and we couldn't get out. We wouldn't know we're stuck. My friend, Dr. Sean Dill, talked about if you're not looking for the credit card, you don't know it's missing. So if we don't try to stay in a learning zone, we wouldn't know that we're stuck. Stuck is an indicator that you're in the learning zone. It means you're trying to get out, trying to find the credit card, trying to do things. Too many people, they are afraid of being stuck because somehow they think it's a negative to be stuck. No, it's indicating you got a better place to be, a better position to be in outside of this room. And you now realize, shit, I got to figure out, go over it, under it, through it, around it, or find the little key to open the door to get to the next level so that my comfort zone becomes the size of my learning zone. My learning zone is in the capacity of what used to cause me to be anxious, called the anxiety zone. Now it takes so much more in my life to make me anxious because I'm stuck. So for me, I always say get stuck getting stuck. And the way that you get stuck being stuck is to get intentional and utilize the mathematical equation of the key to unstuckness, which is start paying attention to and giving your intention to where exactly you want to go, where you, and what you're looking for. And so for me, when I say intentionality, I don't just mean the think and grow rich intentionality of thinking about my credit card where it might be. I'm going to do everything to get unstuck. I'm going to say everything aligned with where I want to be or better. I'm going to think everything aligned with where I want to be or better. I'm going to believe it, like in Think and Grow Rich, and feel it is the final and fifth intentionality. And so I take the time when I feel stuck, which I do because I'm constantly in the learning zone. I'm constantly expanding. I don't believe in transition. I don't believe in pivoting. I believe in an expansion of skills, knowledge, and desire. And the alignment of change, which is happening faster and faster because instantly you come to an agreement with yourself or others. In other words, you make a decision. And if you're utilizing the learning zone, you're going to feel stuck. You now have to align with time that is changing, value that is changing, and emotions that are changing. So how can we align with all three of those when they instantly change in a written, implied, verbal, even with a contract in consideration, which is money put forward? How can we comply is to then align the best that we can, our skills, knowledge, and desire with our intention. Okay, here's what I'm going to do today, according to the circumstances of today, deriving lessons from the past in alignment with a divine direction, where I think I want to be or better. So now every day I'm doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing towards where I think I want to be or better. But COVID hits tomorrow, it could be a whole new divine direction. Now I got to figure out how to take that detour and make it divine in its direction and allow for divine time to keep teaching me where is better, what is better, who is better, how is better. It only comes in that infinite time zone. But if we use the 24 hours every day in attention, what you pay attention to and what you give intention to is the key to getting unstuck or to allowing bigger things to get you stuck, or in other words, getting stuck. In other words, allowing the coincidences, consequences, results that you want in your life. So I constantly am paying attention to when I'm stuck. Okay, that door's got me stuck in this room. Now I'm going to get intentional of unlocking that door. I'm going to do everything I can today, say everything, think, feel, and believe everything to figure out how to open that door. And when I do that, I know that I'm statistically progressing because it's behaviors, intention, that creates your progress. Good behaviors are aligned with the time, value, and emotion that changes. Bad behavior interferes with it. Your good behavior may be my bad behavior. Your bad behavior may be my good behavior, defined by where I want to go and what I want to do and who I want to be with. But there is only one progress that exists, and it's through behavior. Only, it's not the outcomes. Outcomes are not indicative of your behavior. Progress is indicative of your behavior. And then people get frustrated or feel stuck because they have certain behaviors, but the outcomes aren't aligned because time, emotion, and value are changed. So they get frustrated, stuck, worried, anxious. They're actually creating more what? Bad behavior, more resistance to where they want to be or better, instead of using the wisdom and faith that its behavior creates progress that you don't understand or know, not the outcomes. Behavior does not create the outcome. Outcomes are indicating where you're supposed to be. Outcomes are indicating where you're supposed to be. They're not related to the behavior. Behavior is only a direction, a divine direction of your progress. There's no way your behavior doesn't create the alignment in your progress, good or bad. It will not create the outcomes you want. The outcomes that you want exist in infinite time, and you're trying to utilize a man-made construct of time that by the end of the year, you're going to make over $1 million. What are you, high? Don't you know math? That's impossible. But I'll tell you what I will do is I'll create behaviors of what I do, say, think, feel, and believe aligned with making more money as fast as I can. You see the difference? And that's why people feel stuck, because they don't understand the learning zone is meant for you to feel resistance to indicate that you have a better place to be, a better position to be in, to expand who you are and expand the room you're in to find out that what you think you want, there's something even better. And every one of us, if you look back in man-made constructive time into history, linear history, at the failures, successes, mistakes, shortages, voids, obstacles, defining moments, historical relevances that have indicated to you that you're stuck and have failed, or has it? Is it just an indicator that you have a better place to be, a better position to be in, and now you have more wisdom in order to get there and an increased amount of faith that you're going to get there or better, even though you don't understand or know how losing everything could be an indicator to put me in a better place, a better position. By getting breast cancer could be actually protecting, promoting, loving, and perfecting me. It's hard. It's hard, especially when we look at it in the challenging times of ourselves, when we think that outcome is indicative of behaviors. And then what do? We lose faith. How could God do this to me? Why am I being punished? There is no God. Those are exact words that still come into my mind for minutes and moments. I woke up early whenever I'm home, and I'll drive down to see my mom so I can be there when she wakes up. She suffers from dementia. And I'll go there, and she'll start to realize that she's repeating herself. She asked me maybe 7 times last time I was with her, "So are you traveling?" "Yeah, Mom. going to Vegas, then I'm going to New York, then I'm going to Wisconsin, then I'm going to Orange County, then I'm going. And then 3 minutes, so are you traveling? And then she starts to realize it. So she's like, you know, I really got to go. And in the man-made construct, not the quantum, understanding why I'm there, my behavior is not giving me the outcome that I want. And it's not giving my mom the outcome. And I feel very stuck in a very significant relationship in my life. Especially when I'm driving home, after prioritizing a non-negotiable, my mom, and she calls me and says, hey, are you going to come see me today? I feel stuck. But I know that the outcome of those circumstances are not indicative of my behavior or the progress I'm making in the infinite. Because I know my soul journey and hers is much more than the 81 years that she's lived or the 56 years that I have. It's hard to do because it takes a lot of wisdom, but it takes even more faith that somehow this really hard, stuck feeling in a significant relationship is protecting me, promoting me, loving me, and perfecting me in the infinite. That's a really great thing to practice. All right, we're starting off slow.
So you said something earlier that I've just been obsessing over since you said it, about sitting on the bench. And I think there's probably been no place in my life ever that I've ever set the bench except maybe like seventh grade basketball.
You're a much better athlete than me.
No, I'm not really that great at it. I just work hard. But I guess my question is, really, can you just expand on that? What's the value of it? What am I going to get from it?
Great question. So what I was discussing was when I went from being all CIF in high school in California with a big high school, a winning team, a history of Heisman Trophy winners, et cetera, names on my back and reflector plans, to playing for a small college and sitting on the bench. From being the star of a really big team to realizing you are now a small fish. And I have this great lesson that I later on utilize in my life, which is you're either humble or you're about to be. And can you learn to love true? Because I told everyone, I carried a football from the time I was five every single day, telling everyone that I was going to be an NFL star into college, would carry a football to me to class. But did I really love the game, or was it my ego because I was good at it? Because everybody else would say, hey, you're awesome. You're so small, but yet you're so good. Was that? And I had to learn that I love football. I learned to love practicing. Think about that. If I could give my kids a gift, what would it be? Love practice. Love doing Spanish 15 minutes a day instead of living in the extra mile and 16 hours on a Saturday to get a B. Have them learn to love practicing Spanish or math 15 minutes a day because they're guaranteed an A. Because that's the empty mile. That's where people don't compete with me. I live in a mile with no competition because I have learned to sit on the bench with everything that I do because I'm learning to practice. Jim Mora, who actually went to my college, the coach of the Indianapolis Colts, right? Those guys practice? Yeah, practice. I love practice. Do I still, would I love the game? Would I love to keep on playing the actual? Yeah, but that's temporary. This is every day. Games were only 10 times a year. Practice is every day. And so as much as I sat on the bench, what did I learn from it? Is that practice creates progress. And it helped my team earn respect. In my senior year, I was the captain. After sitting on the bench for 3 years, I was the captain of the defense and got to play in games again with a new appreciation for it. And I have taken that. When I got out of law school and took the sales job, I outsold everyone in that company, made my first $1 million with a $250,000 comp plan because I practiced every day. I didn't have a family. I didn't have a house. All I wanted to do was buy my mom one. So I decided I'd practice selling every single day and I out-progressed them. So that's what sitting on the bench did for me. And I will tell you, looking back in my life, I've done some extraordinarily amazing things in my life experientially. I still will tell you the greatest experience, and maybe Dave will tell you, from being a runner, professional track star, there is no greater experience still other than having my children and my wife, my marriage, that even compared to practicing football. Great question. You got it? Cool. All right, who's up next? We got the Eagles. Come on over. Everybody knows the paradigm shift. We are on almost episode 200, I think, of the paradigm shift.
191
episodes together every Saturday.
No weeks off.
No weeks off, ever. It's not practice if you take off.
That's right. Even on wedding day.
That's right. I made you do it.
My question for you is this. Earlier today, you were talking about connecting to an endless energy.
Yep.
I subscribe to that as well. You do it better than anyone I've ever met. In order to connect to something that's beyond our senses, you have to have a trusting, a knowing, a certainty consciousness. How are you able to expand that certainty to continue to stay connected to that endless energy?
Yeah, so you're always connected, first of all. So that brings great certainty to me. So that paradigm shift, the reason we named that show for me was there's this paradigm shift that happened in my life that I'm always connected to it. You don't have, I wrote this book, Connected to Goodness, because you're always connected. It didn't say connect to goodness, because I'm always connected to something bigger than me, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source. So in that shift becomes the realization, what am I doing to interfere with it? Which is the context of something I learned in the 11th grade in existentialism. I was studying Kierkegaard, no clue what I was thinking of, but I had this tremendous professor in AP English that's like, this is going to change your life, Dave. I am, right? Right there in Kirk. I am. And at 11th grade, I'm like, yes, I get it. Man, am I on a destiny, a search for what that means still. But what I have derived from those two powerful words, I am, is I am always connected. And when I work from I am, not this is what I want people to think I am, which to me is the greatest interference of our children's lives, is the difference between I am and this is what I want people to think I am. It's always been a problem with children, but because of the amplified nature of social media and the access that they now don't even seek what other people want them to be, or it's just flooded into you and into a social silo, that these words, I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Not I'm going to get it, or they want me to be it, or this is what is missing from my life. This is what I don't want in my life. No, no, no. I am. What am I doing to interference, and how many minutes and moments am I spending in interference? Because I am connected to God, to a life source, a healing source. There's many doctors in here that subscribe and have taught me the exact same thing that I'm saying, that are traditionally trained in medicine, traditionally trained that this is how it is, but they believe there's something bigger, and all dis-ease is the interference of something bigger. And so that paradigm shift for me gives me certainty. I will tell you, even in giving, I tell people, sometimes I think they might be offended. You don't give if you're not aware of all you're given. Like when you get cancer, or when you lose everything, or a girlfriend or boyfriend leaves you, or you get divorced. If you don't realize all you're given when you're stuck, Chris, if you can't find through gratitude and forgiveness all that you're given, and then you're not worthy of receiving it, and you're not faithful enough to ask for more, then you don't believe in God. You're not certain at all. You have way too much doubt in that, because if God is omniscient and all-powerful and loves you more than your mom, then there's more than enough in everyone. You should be asking for it, praying for it, wishing for it, and giving your attention to it and through it for you and other people. And this, as I said, is something that you know, and you also didn't have. No faith, no spirituality. All about the energy of money that will buy happiness and love. And there wasn't enough of it, but I could outcompete you for it. I could trade you, negotiate you, oversell you, back end sell you, manipulate you, lie to you, and cheat you out of your money. No more for me. There's plenty of it. I just have to give it all away, elevate my awareness to all that I'm given from giving it away, doing my best, learning lessons, having fun, be worthy of receiving it, and then have faith that there's a God that's bigger than me with more than enough of everything, and I'm going to ask him for it. I'm going to ask other people for it. I'm going to wish for it, hope for it, dream about it, do, say, think, feel, and believe that it's already mine and it's got to figure out what I'm doing to interfere with it. I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? The certainty only comes from the unknown and saying, believing and feeling that there's more than enough, that there is a God. And, you know, let me give you my hack on this, by the way, because people challenge me all the time. Why do you believe that? Because I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist. I believe in multiple lifetimes. Why? Because scientifically, they can't prove it. Nobody's been ever in history able to prove it. And so I love life. I will challenge all of you today. Challenge me. Come up with a better thing to be certain about than something bigger than you, an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought with more than enough of everything for everyone that protects you, loves you, promotes you, and perfects you at all times more than your mom. Bring it. Tell me something that you'd rather be certain about, just out of best option of being an optimist. Why would you want to believe in anything else? And if anyone can give me something better to be certain about, I'm all in. I just can't, over the last 17 years, figure out anything better to believe in to be certain about than that. I'm open-minded. Come and tell me something better than that. Don't tell me, oh, but you don't believe in Jesus. I didn't say I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ bigger than me and loves me more than my mom? Yeah, Dave, I believe in Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you don't believe in Buddha. Bigger than me, loves me. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me. I believe in it. As long as it's bigger than me, loves me more than my mom, why not? See how the mindset, heart set, and the handset all reconcile, reconnect, remember, and remind us with our certainty of God or whatever you define. You're beautiful. Love you. It's Craig Siegel, the Eagle. Siegel's five below the Eagle, what he named. Who's up next?
Mr. Bellman.
Oh, sweet. Another Ivy Leaguer. I'm surrounded by him. Football player. He didn't sit on the bench. He didn't learn as much as me. But he's a lot more hurt.
Yeah, a lot. So something you've helped me out with a lot, and honestly, it's probably my number one AI use case, is course correction. Like how to make sure you're not going in the wrong direction too long.
Right? Good.
And I'm a big believer, if anyone hasn't read Mullen's Getting to Plan B, like most business plans fail. Just quickly fail and get to plan B, C, D, E, F, and all those things. But you kind of need somebody to help you course correct. Because, I mean, you'll do it all the time. Like, great idea? No, because of this. How do you help people think about if they're doing something, it's in pursuit, that it's getting you closer to the goal instead of further away?
Yeah, Matt Higgins just texted me, who's one of my mentors. He's amazing. I remember him telling me, every business plan sucks. Every business idea is horrible when it starts. None of them work. Not one of them work. Go back and look at any of them. I remember working with Sequoia in the 90s, and Yahoo was an indexing tool. Google was an optimization tool. Never did they think in that business plan that it'd be the biggest. Amazon sold books out of his garage, right? I always joke around, and people, they always screw up the videos I do. And they think, oh my God, you know Jeff Bezos. And I always said, if Jeff Bezos offered me 10% of Amazon for 10 grand when he was selling books out of his garage and told me that he'd be the biggest marketplace in the world and the richest man on earth, I would have laughed at him. And I'm an optimist. I'd have scoffed him, made fun of him. But I applaud him today. I'm still blown away when I order some obscure item and it gets to my house in 2 hours on a Sunday. Like, how the F does that happen? Holy shit, the man's amazing. But his business plan changed, right? And so understanding expansion, not pivoting. Expansion is taking our skills, our knowledge, and desire and aligning them with the circumstances of the day by learning from the past and adjusting our detours to make them divine and allowing for divine time to create outcomes or better that we desire. It's that simple. And so for me, I am responsible for doing my best learning lessons and having fun each day in a trajectory, in a divine direction of what I think I want to be. So business plans are the most adaptable and adoptable plan in the world. I have my own personal plans, but they're restricted to each day in a divine direction. And I use values, gratitude, to give me the perspective to find the light, the love, and the lessons. Forgiveness of all the stupid shit I'm going to do and mistakes I'm going to make. Accountability to learn by asking myself, what did I do today to be responsible for moving in the wrong direction or interfering with God? What did I do to attract the things that are moving me in the wrong direction or interfering with God? And am I participating in the perception of being in the wrong way and interfering with God? And most importantly, what am I supposed to learn from it so that tomorrow, when I seek the meaning of tomorrow, it'll help me stay aligned with this divine direction to help me with the detours and make them divine and allow me to have the ability and patience and grace to allow for divine time to teach me how this is actually better, that I have cancer, I lost everything, I got divorced, whatever it may be in our lives. And so from there, utilizing this philosophy of expansion, I'm constantly looking at three things: skills that I are aligned, the knowledge of who and what, and my desire. The denominator of all successful people in any field, industry, career, job, the desire that you must be what you can be. It is the common denominator. I've never met one successful person that did not have a desire that they must be. Even if they're born into great wealth, they're not passionate, purposeful, and eventually the profit dissipates if they don't have a desire that they must be what they can be, if they're not developing skills and knowledge. Now, how do we expedite it is another question, Brandon, which to me is, hey, fastest way to get to where you want to be is why we're here today at the Mastermind. While people should come to Orange County and everyone that we do the VIP dinners, because I know the fastest way to get to where I want to be or better is to find someone that's already there and ask them for direction or help someone get to where they would be. That's how we at the Black Diamond Club and with Sean and Lacey, when we started all this and I was coaching them, I'm like, you guys have this amazing community. Every time I get to step on a stage at the Black Diamond Club, these are my people. These are my people. Why? Because they get that they can ask me to get to where I am and I can ask them to get to where they are and we can help each other get there. Fastest way to expedite it. Because why? You've already paid the dummy tax, which is the most expensive tax. I fight with my Floridian friends because they're like, well, you move there, you don't pay the state. I'm like, forget about tax. Move there because your friends are there or you like boating or the weather in Florida or hurricanes. I don't know what you like, but move there for that reason. People that move because of taxes are foolish. Because 12% California tax is nothing compared to the dummy tax. The dummy tax will cost you everything you ever had and everything you will have. Forget 12% of the year to get 72 degree weather for 300 days a year. That's worth it for me. But I lost everything and almost everything in the future because I was a dummy. Because time, emotion, and value will change after you make a plan. Any decision you make, any agreement you come to, time, emotion, and value changes instantly. So, of course, it's not going to work. Two things that I focus in on. One, I'm a content capturer. Right? So I'm not worried about anything other than, hey, capture the content in whatever way. And then I'm outsourcing the creation of the amplification of it and perpetuation of it. And so two, one of the things that I've learned to do that great leaders are able and capable of doing with the infinite amount of information that's accessible today is that the best thing I can do is to put things into context. Framework so that you can control the inputs that are infinite. So if there's no framework, it becomes exhausting. And that's what people who are constantly on TikTok or Instagram or social media without any framework or context get an overwhelmed feeling because it's like drinking through a fire hose at all times. And unfortunately, it feeds you the interfering information more than it will the ease that you want. So now you have a duplicative negative of being fed negative information with no context, which allows you to have no direction. Creating framework. So that's why, you know, 3 no rule, 25 no rule, 5 daily practices. These are all frameworks or context in which you can gather the information that you want to gather and utilize it. Know your what, know your who, know your how, apply, know your now and apply your why. Whatever it may be, I love to give people a framework or a context in order to facilitate more ease and better behaviors that are aligned with where you want to be better, which gives better progress. For me, making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun by doing my best learning lessons and having fun by using gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and effective communication. You see how it's almost a matrix for me, all continual contextual framework in which I can process my activities, paid for, unpaid for, planned, unplanned, sleep, Once again, in context, negotiable, non-negotiable time. These are just contextual things that you can utilize in order to facilitate being happy, to progress faster, to aggregate more good into your life, to have exponentiality of the outcomes that actually are aligned with where you want to be or better. Not necessarily you can understand or know how they're aligned, but they are aligned with where you want to be or better.
As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me as someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings. I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook. Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time.
All right, we're at the halfway point. We're here in Manhattan at the Black Diamond Club Mastermind. And we have an incredible group of people here that want to help each other. Know people help each other. Same with our online community. Blessed to have over 100,000 people registered after 25 years. Please come join us. We're going to be in New York City VIP dinner tonight. I'll be in Wisconsin over the weekend. Then we have a VIP mastermind, investor mastermind, and dinner on Wednesday at our new Napoleon Hill Institute offices and studios in Irvine, California. And then I'll be off to Turkey doing meetups, holding courts. But speaking of turkeys, Chris, stop for me.
I'm sitting on the bench. So I remember in the fireside chat a little while ago, you and Lacey were talking about 80% of the time as an entrepreneur in a business, you're either breaking even or losing. So I know you talk about owning your calendar or your relationship with time. What would you say to someone that's struggling? Some simple pro tips that they can implement right away to change that so they can be more productive in a world where we're just bombarded with information and distraction.
I love that question. So my objective of the usage of time is threefold. One is productivity, which is to provide more value to me and others. Two is accessibility, to be more accessible to others and access what I want, which is a duality. And then three is gratitude, to quickly be able to find the light, the love, and the lessons in all the activities in my day. In other words, learn to love what I don't love other people don't like or love. So for me, those are the lenses in which are my objective or my intention of time. And so the easiest thing to do is to first figure out what's important to you and make it non-negotiable. Because minutes is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. And you can use my Spanish examples. You study 15 minutes of Spanish a day, you're going to get an A. You study 15 hours on a Saturday, you're going to get a B. And believe it or not, my non-negotiables each day, 7 days a week, no pity about, oh, you never go off the grid. What grid? I want to stay connected to God. And I know that these are just activities. That's why I like activities I get paid for. I mean, I stepped on a stage in Cancun at what used to be the Ritz-Carlton. It's the Altair. Highly suggest the resort. My wife is in the spa. I have Nick and Serafina with me. 500 Effie jewelers, wealthy, well-dressed, kind, energetic people, literally elevating me, thinking, I've worked an entire year of my life and not made this much money for being part of this collective inspire. Like, tears were in my eyes after. Nick asked me, like, what? I've never seen you. I was like, holy shit. This is my life. Because I made certain things a non-negotiable. So the simplest thing is, one, know your non-negotiables. Mine, minimum of an hour a day on my health, minimum 30 minutes with my wife, minimum 30 minutes with my 14-year-old son, minimum 2 minutes with my three daughters. I asked for 5, they gave me 2, and I said minimum. I want more. Marissa gives me more. And the reason Marissa gives you more, one of the rules I've learned about raising children, first stage of raising children, idolization. Second stage of raising children, demonization. Third stage, which Marissa's in, humanization. They start to realize, gosh, my dad's a human. And hopefully you're a good human, and then they like you. Pretty cool is good for me. What about spending a minimum time being intentional about your time, minimum time in faith, minimum time studying your finance? You want simple things to do if you're not where you want to be financially? Look at your account balances every day. It doesn't take much time, but it will help you immensely not to be afraid of the mail or your account balances. I was worth over $100 million, afraid of my account balances and afraid of my mail. What kind of control of intentionality is that if I don't know my account balances and I don't know my mail? That's looking for what you don't want. Why? Because if my bank account went up $100, I was super happy. And if it went down $100, I thought I was a loser because my entire identity was based off of how much money was in my bank. Because I dreamed about having a lot of money in my bank. And I was full of scarcity and fear that someday I wouldn't have any money in my bank. And guess what? I got exactly what I was worried about. Because worrying is a duplicative negative. Not only is it interfering with what I want, but it's praying for what I don't want. And for all these doctors in the house, I promise you, you must have taken a lot of tests. And we all know that went to graduate school, especially when you're worried about something being on a test, you're just guaranteed it's going to be the first question. Guaranteed. So don't make the things you don't want the first of your life. It will happen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for all your help with Napoleon Hill as well. All right, we're rocking and rolling. Nick of time. We got the incredible Lori Levine here. Oh, Nick of Wam, sorry. He's advanced. Nick of time used to be efficient with time. Now he's the Nick of Wam, the well-oiled machine. Lori,
hi. Hi.
Founder of Scott's Protein Balls. I just want to say publicly, I love your husband's balls.
They love you too.
I should say. My wife will get mad. But they're just great balls. They taste wonderful.
Thank you.
And they're healthy.
They are. I have
lots of protein in those balls.
Okay, Dave. I'll stop Dave now. So Dave, I'm just like you. I'm the eternal optimist. I think it's going to be sunny. Yes. What do you do with everybody in your life, personally and professionally, who you can't be your true self, who they're happier when you're down and out. You know, I had cancer. I rose above it. I started a business out of it. I have people in my life who just don't get it. And, you know, I started the business at 52. I was not a young entrepreneur. I was a CPA. What do you do with the people who, where you feel like you have to dim your light And, you know,
great question.
It's a real problem for me.
So let me give it a framework.
All right, let's do it.
So I evaluate all relationships in my life with three criteria. And it's changed throughout the years. So the first one is, how relative is the person to me?
If they're quite relative.
Right. So we evaluate saying, this is my mom. That's very relative. But my mom's always worried about me or making me feel bad about myself or whatever. Secondly, what's the association that I have with the person? So the association may be one of requirement, like being a mom or sitting on a board of directors or having a cubbyhole next to somebody or being in a card group with you or a tennis club. There's associations, an interesting evaluation beyond relativity. We associate, have to associate with people. Now, the third one's the one that's evolved for me with the electrons in my life. I used to tell people, and it was bad advice because I learn as well, if it feeds you, feed it. If it bleeds you, let it fall away or fire it from your life. But I didn't put into context that context, meaning that people that bleed us, the bleeding can actually be feeding. So the naysayers, the Tom Brady, fed him to be even greater. And so we have to truly look at these electrons and say, okay, first, how relative is this electron? Oh, this guy went to high school with me and I used to give him significant because he was 2 years older than me. I thought he was super cool and I wanted to be just like him. So when he said he doesn't like my videos, I'm an idiot and I should be embarrassed, he hurt my feelings. No, he's not relative to me anymore. I'll just fire him from my life. Association, right? Oh, we went to high school together. We have no association anymore. Easy to fire him. The feeding and bleeding. Well, my mom, for example, is extremely relative to me. I have a great association. She's my mom. Beyond the relativity, she's my mom. That's a family association. And she bleeds the crap out of me, as you saw at the beginning of the training. She's bleeding me. And my emotions is bleeding me. But the bleeding from my mom is the same as when I bled her. It's a great feeding. It's a blessing. Her electronness in my life is one of the greatest fuels in my life, the same as the people that probably made fun of Tom Brady saying that he sucks and will never make it in the NFL.
So what about the people in between your mom and the high school kid?
The good news about today, we can let them fall away. Right? In varying degrees, we can say no to them. We can take their advice like a handful of sand, and that which resonates with us, we'll hold on to. That which doesn't, is let it fall through the hands and thank them for their great advice. And it's been working for me to be able to put people into that. I do think it's important though to, you know, I dreamed about being able to take care of my mom, and I had to learn to say, well, this is exactly what you dreamed of. This isn't bleeding you. The bleeding is actually a feeding of exactly what you wanted to make of yourself, to be someone that can provide everything that your mom wants because of all that she did for you when you bled her.
So look at the feeding as the bleeding, the feeding.
Yeah. Right. Or if okay. if it is feeding you in any way and add value right. to that.
I like it.
Electronness.
I like the perspective. Love you.
All right. I love the optimist, my style. All right, who's my next optimist? Oh, Raghu, come on up. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. David@dmelcher.com. We have these guides for you today, perspective guides for our training. We appreciate everyone. Hello, my dear.
Thank you, Dave, and love your wisdom. So I have a question about kids, stage of demonization. How did you handle it? Did you sit on the bench, or did you rip your hair apart?
Yeah, so... in those stages of idolization and then to the demonization. And there's varying degrees, obviously, you know, so it's your perspective. So my 14-year-old is this incredible kid, but he definitely does not idolize me like he did when he was 10. Doesn't necessarily demonize me, but some of the looks he gives me and the lack of responses, I feel like I am demonized, especially comparatively to how much he idolizes. And so, for me, I have to be a realist and extremely relative, extremely associate, and he bleeds me. But I know that my reaction to him is more important than his action. And so to communicate effectively and to express to him, you know, hey, buddy, a thank you would have been nice. It would have made me feel as if I'm teaching you what's most important in life. It's up to you. One of the things I learned in all the stages is that I try not to utilize my ignorant arrogance as a parent. So there's two types of people in the world. Most of you have heard me say this. There's only ignorant people and ignorant people. Ignorant people that don't know what they don't know and ignorant people that don't know what they don't know. There's ignorant, humble people that I try to be, which is, hey, I don't know what I don't know, but here's been my experience, my advice. Here's some people that may be able to share some different perspectives, but I don't know what I don't know. And then there's two types of ignorant, arrogant people. One on Instagram, and we've all experienced them, right? Pat, you stole gratitude from Gary Vee. You know, just stupid, arrogant stuff that people say. No effect on me at all. But the most dangerous, ignorant, arrogant people on earth are a parent, because the people who love you the most are the most dangerous, ignorant, arrogant people. Why? Because they're more afraid for you than you are for yourself. So when they give you advice, what are they giving you advice out of? Fear. You should. Why do they tell you you should go to doctor, lawyer, or failure? Because they're afraid that you're not going to be financially stable. And those are the two most financially stable professions when I was growing up, or engineer. That's why they, and are they telling it to punish you? No, they're afraid that you're not going to have stability in your life. You're not going to have a steady paycheck. Always doctors and lawyers and engineers have jobs. That's why they do it. Go to college, go to this, do this. Why are they telling God of fear? So those people are really dangerous to us. And so I don't want to, regardless of the stage my children are in, I try not to be ignorant and arrogant, meaning I try not to give them advice based off of my fear for them. I try to ask questions, provide resources. Oh, you're interested in being a chiropractor? Talk to Dr. David, talk to Lacey, talk to Sean. Oh, you're interested in being a speaker? Cool, talk to Craig. I don't tell them, oh, in order to be a teacher, you got to capture lessons and have that into an inbox and then make stories around those lessons. Because I can't, I tell Lacey that when she wants to speak, I give her my advice because I'm not afraid for Lacey. I try to stay away from giving advice to my children because it's always going to have some fear. So I've had to create a context around asking questions. What is it you want? Oh, who can help you? This has been my experience. This has helped me. I capture all the different lessons every day. And every Sunday I go through my capture folder and I put a notation of a story. And then I can tell these stories without writing a script. And I have probably a bigger repository of stories and lessons than most people, which allows me to do more interviews, speak more, all these things. I always have this incredible repository of what inspires people, because people learn from what? Stories. And the cool thing is my stories change out of memory, not out of manipulation or lying. It just changes. You know, you remember things differently. Sometimes I remember more, sometimes it is different than what I remembered, but I only can go with what I remember, and it's really not important to me. Someone asked me the other day, is every one of your stories true? No. But every one of those lessons is meant to help people, to share my dummy tax, so they don't have to pay it from the lesson that I learned. Is that fair? Thank you. That's a good question. All right, Brent, I can see you are already on your way. We last 10 minutes, Nick of Wham. Nick of non-offense time. Let's give it for Nick. I love Nick. I love Marissa. I love Nick, my two little kids. All right, Brent.
Thank you, David. Thank you, I love your stories, no matter how true or untrue they are. Right, so thank you. I want to talk about love, forgiveness, and trust, the relationship between all of them. Trust, we know, is important in business. You do business with people you trust. And sometimes trust is broken and business relationships fail. At what point do you forgive, love, and retrust?
Wow. Okay, so first, defining trust for me. When I trust someone, I need to be able to ask them uncomfortable and hard questions. To me, that is my definition of trust. I need to be able to tell them exactly who I am and what I think and ask them questions about who they are. And so for me, one of the indicators that I don't trust you or you don't trust me is if I'm too afraid to tell you the truth or ask you uncomfortable questions, then I don't trust you. Or if you get defensive when I ask you an uncomfortable question, then I don't trust you. And so to me, my whole life changed because my pattern was very similar to most people. I'm listening to a lot of deal flow, a lot of pitches, a lot of people around me. And I want to ask an uncomfortable question like, well, exactly how much money are you actually going to invest? I had one of my clients spend a week with these people in a mansion to do and delve into an investment opportunity. And then he justified the fact that they're not trustworthy because they're not going to invest. And the whole time he was in the house, they implied they were going to invest in this project. I said, did you ask him if you're going to invest? No. Why not? Well, because it was uncomfortable. Because you knew that if you asked, they may say no. And so now you're blaming them because you didn't trust them. Not that they're not trustworthy. And so this idea of trust is really important because I can't tell you how many times I knew people were lying, cheating, manipulating, overselling me, and I didn't ask the uncomfortable questions of to prove that or to get clarity, because sometimes they do it unintentionally and they misspeak. And then what do? I blame and justify them for not doing what I thought they were going to do for something that was said or not said. And so for me, I think we must invest in uncomfortable and straightforward questions and being honest. It falls in the context of the three no rule. How many people they keep going because they hope something instead of asking the uncomfortable question? So just so we're clear, I'm going to put together a go, no go plan because you actually are going to put money in my deal, or you actually are going to attend this, or you actually are going to do this. That's your desire. When you say 300% growth, how much money is that? How much money did you do last year? $30. Oh, I was assuming 30 million. A little bit of a difference. Liar? Nope, not a liar at all, the guy. Very trustworthy. Manipulative? Most likely. But you find out whether he's trustworthy by asking him the hard and uncomfortable question. You get how that works?
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what. In marriage or in a relationship, those are the people we trust the most. And most of the time, in the most trusted relationships, those people have no problem telling us the truth or asking hard questions. All right, 5 minutes left. We got one more question from the amazing Jason. Come on over. You're the next contestant on Ask Me Anything. You bring the questions, I'll bring the answers. Like a middle-aged mutant turtle sphinx. All right, last but not least, what do you got for me, brother?
So understanding that time is our most valuable currency.
In the human experience.
Yes. Will you go into a professional project considering it potentially being a loss leader with the hope that there would be monetary or relationship benefit down the line?
Great question. So one of the things in all the conversations that we had today here, especially about time, that has been missing is that the first step for everything I do is a timing and risk tolerance analysis. It's the biggest mistake that everybody makes, whether it's personally or professionally. What is your timing and risk tolerance? Because if you know your timing and risk tolerance in what you're doing activity-wise, you will be disappointed a lot of the time, but you never will feel guilty or resentful about the activity, investment, or intention that you had. There's a big difference. Let me give you my best example of timing and risk tolerance. When we buy a lottery ticket, most people, when they buy it for $2, know that you have a 1 in a billion chance to make, on average, $500 million. 1 in a billion chance to make $500 million. And you know you will know this on Saturday at 8 p.m. You got your defined timing and risk tolerance of your $2. Most everybody, and sometimes everyone, by the way, because it carries over, most everybody is disappointed on Saturday at 8 o'clock. But yet more and more people keep playing the lottery. Why? Because they're not resentful or guilty about it. Because they know their time and risk tolerance, and everything occurred aligned with the timing and risk tolerance that they had in that opportunity. So when I make an investment of time, when I make an investment of emotion, when I make an investment in money, as long as I know my timing and risk tolerance and have asked the uncomfortable and difficult questions to align it as best as I can, I get disappointed all the time. But as long as it's aligned with the timing and risk tolerance, I never feel guilty and resentful. I actually feel good about the experience because I already predetermined the experience is worth it, whether I invest time, emotion, value, or money, whatever it may be. So many people can't tell me time and risk tolerance, perceived value, or bottom line in a situation. Some of you are my coaching clients. And you know, you have to be annoying to be a coach and a parent. Why? Because you have to be repetitive and have to tell the truth, right? Eagle probably left for a thing. Man, I annoyed the shit out of him because I told him the truth all the time. And I was repetitive. My kids will tell you, I'm repetitive. I know that I don't learn things the first time. I don't even understand it. And sometimes I don't even hear it the first time. So if you're not willing as a parent to be annoying and honest, or as a coach, be annoying and honest, then don't do it. Because all you're going to be is completely disappointed because there's no way they're learning it the first time. I can't tell you how many times I've just assumed everybody knows my four values. I'm telling you, timing and risk tolerance, perceived value, and bottom line, I do average 5 one-on-one individual coaching sessions a day, 7 days a week. And I can't tell you, so what should I charge? I just did it on the plane last night. So what should I charge? I have no idea. Perceived value, by the way, is your ability to comfortably and confidently articulate a value to exceed what you're asking for. It has nothing to do with any Wharton School of Business analysis of what pricing should be. It's literally just your ability to be comfortable and confident in articulating a value to exceed what you're asking for. Bottom line is very simple as well. What you're willing to take for what you're willing to do, or what you're willing to spend for what you're willing to buy. Bottom line, and that's when the three no rule falls into place. You go below my bottom line, no, can't do it. It's not the right time. When it is, let me know. Perceived value, bottom line, timing and risk tolerance, not just with money, but with emotion. If you put things into that context, you will never be resentful and guilty. You will be disappointed according to the timing and risk tolerance. It's okay. Disappointment, it's cool. You learn from that. It's one of the most valuable lessons I teach. All right, right on noon, the dot here in the East Coast. This has been over 25 years of Friday, free Friday training. I want to appreciate everyone that registers on every platform. And I especially want to thank the members here of the Black Diamond Club Mastermind in New York City. If you're a last-minute attendee, come and join us today at a VIP dinner, 5 p.m. in the city. If you're around, we'd love to see you. Next week, Investor Thanksgiving Mastermind and VIP dinner, Bedros and I will be leading the way with some special guests, Clinton Sparks, others, in Irvine on Wednesday, david@dmelcher.com. And if you're in Turkey, right before Thanksgiving, celebrate with me, meet up, holding court and a speech there in Turkey. Don't be a turkey, join us. If you can't keep up with us this year, we're going to do more next year. So we had over 200 different events, meetings, et cetera, this year. Text me to keep up. That's what I literally use myself. There's a text alert that says I have a dinner tonight. 949-298-2905. Remember, most importantly, too, if you want the guides or exercises from today, they're free. My book is free. I'll pay for shipping and the book. But remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds. God bless you.